of my band, Shitty Piano. What was that, Wayne's World? The Shitty Beatles.
What?
Are they any good? No, they suck. So it's not just a clever name.
So we are actually recording right now.
Big shout out to the Shitty Beatles.
Yo, the Shitty Beatles. Yo, I just party fouled so bad, man. Spilled a brew in the studio. That is about as bad as it gets.
You know what I notice is that every time you do something silly, you immediately jump to, I've never done that thing.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to accept that. You are listening to Rap Sucks Radio, by the way. My name is Trek Life, and you are also in the house with the homeboy, Kev Sakota. What Hello. Up, though? I'm not accepting that particular L. You know what I'm saying? But this is not normally how we start the show off.
It's a good thing no one's going to listen to previous episodes of this show. Don't do it.
Opening question.
Go ahead.
So.
Bring it.
So, man, I don't even know how to.
The more you pause, the worse it's going to be.
I got a text message from you.
Oh, Lord.
Concerning like being happy about the amount of listens that we were getting early on, and the expression that you used was fuck a duck. Can you explain to me what the expression fuck a duck means?
I have no idea. Well, this is what I do know. It's used as an exclamation of something that's good. It can also be used in exasperation, I believe, for something that like really makes you, you know, bums you out. I'm not going to credit who I got it from, even though he knows, you know, that it's clearly his expression. I stole it from him because I don't even know if he's listening to the show. So until he does, I'm not going to give him props. He's also a complete jerk. So,
you know what, man? I'm going to go ahead and get into the break because I feel bad for ducks right now.
Yo, what up? It's DJ Icy Ice, and you're listening to Rap Sucks Radio.
Yo, we are back.
The boot scoot.
This is you know, side conversation.
You just
episode.
Look like a dog who took a.
yo, Rap Sucks Radio, your homeboy Track Life, you fam, Kev Sakota. I did not shout out who's in the house with us, man. My homeboy, Mr. Shug, Big Shug,
sir.
You know what I'm saying? Durr. Because he don't like you to say his government.
No!
So, yeah. and as we do, man, first of all, thank you all for listening. Early listeners, man. You guys are actually kind of putting in a little bit of work.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Yep.
You know what
yep.
I'm saying?
It takes a village.
It does take a village.
Of people with a lot of spare time on their hands. We appreciate you.
Let's jump into who's out here tripping.
Well, first of all, can I interrupt real
yes,
quick
you
before
can.
We get into that? Because sure. Shug is a powerhouse and a wealth of knowledge when it comes to 80s references. And he pointed out very quickly that evidently Fuck a Duck comes from Action Jackson.
Oh.
Was used in Action Jackson, which should actually be the cultural flashpoint that we refer to when, you know, like if we write the Wikipedia page on Fuck a Duck, the first thing on that page should be Action Jackson.
I'm fine.
Good looking
that.
Out.
That actually sounds, that's fine. All right. Thanks, Shug. We appreciate that. Who's out here tripping, though? Do you have anybody that you think is out here tripping?
Nope.
All right. Well, then we're going to get to who's out here tripping for real. Y'all, I think Barr is out here tripping, man.
Okay.
Mueller report is dropped. You know what I'm saying? Fam out here, you know, making excuses. You know what I'm saying? Making up reasons. Dropping redacted reports like... When I read this, though, I was like, yo.
Wait, did you read the whole report?
I didn't read the entire thing, but I actually have gone through about 75, almost 80% of it. You know what I'm saying?
Are
as
you
much
serious?
As I could, yeah, as much as I could go through, you know, between work and home.
You've read so much more than most of Congress. I have to believe.
I'm not going to get too deep into, you know, mm-hmm. some of it's just kind of fluff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
There's enough, put it this way. There's enough of it for you to say, and he didn't do anything, and then yeah, he did something. Like there's you can pick and choose your angle if you really want to with that report. You know what I'm saying? As most people will do. But you know, your homeboy, man, your homeboy Barr is like that. That whole speech before was pretty wild.
I just don't understand him because I know nothing about the man, right. But evidently his resume is pretty significant.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is the thing that kills me is that he comes on the scene and he's like fanboying for your boy.
It's wild, right?
It's kind of wild. The other thing that kills me is that he has developed this legacy that precedes him. He could be chilling.
Yep.
Jumps back in because he can't get enough of the exciting game of, you know, the legal profession. And now the thing that's also crazy, which always makes me laugh, is that so there is Bob Mueller.
Right.
And there is William Barr, a.k.a. Bill Barr.
Right.
But everybody who talks about him on the news calls him Bob Barr. So at the end of the day, he's not even going to be remembered by the right name.
He's going to have a false name.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. You know what I'm saying? So much is going on this week concerning, you know. I mean, I think it was sort of quiet on all fronts for a while because everybody's kind of waiting for the Mueller report. Like, I think that was kind of the thing. I think this was sort of a quiet last maybe 2-3 weeks on the government, you know, political tip. CNN just looked like they were like, you know, striving, like trying their best to find news this last couple of weeks.
Oh, they were stretching.
They were stretching. They were like, woman walks across the street.
Right. Yeah.
How
exactly.
long did it take her to get across?
There was a lot of water skiing squirrels on CNN for 24 hours.
They had no idea how to deal with this news cycle without going into it. So they were waiting for the Mueller report to drop. And when it dropped, I do think it was a little anticlimactic, but I think that was, I think next week it's going to, in the next coming weeks, it'll ramp up. But I think Barr kind of set the bar. Like, this could be pretty crazy. But I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I kind of null this, dumb this down real quick so that it don't get on fire, you know?
Yeah, I think everybody is just confused at this point. This is the thing about Trump that kind of kills me is that I get rooting for the bad guy.
Right.
You know, like there are a lot of people who root for the bad guy because in movies, that's what you do.
Right.
To a certain extent, right?
Right.
You know, like whether you're rooting for Michael Corleone or Tony Montana or Jason Voorhees. It's like, okay, we're going to cheer for the bad guy.
Right.
But that's when the bad guy has an extremely high amount of skill at being a bad guy. And he's smooth and he's just at the top of his game.
Right.
Trump is so bad at being a bad guy. He's like a klutz.
Right, he's like the with bad being, guy. Yeah, he's like the greatest American hero of bad guys.
Yeah,
like,
he's the Three Stooges of bad guys. The greatest American hero.
Speaking of great American heroes, Tiger Woods, man, wins the Masters.
Your segue game?
I'm on
is
right
killing
now. I'm murking this segue game. For those of y'all, this is episode 5. And by episode 5, if I can keep this up, man, I might make myself a segue trophy.
Yeah, you know you're going to get a, yeah. Segway you get key. To episode 10 with clean segues all the way through, and I think you get a free sandwich.
Hey, speaking of which, I didn't request any sponsors for the Out Here Tripping. You know, I don't have any, so I'm going to go ahead and go into
it. How about extra high curbs?
Extra high
with
curbs.
Extra short legs.
Yo,
Yo, Tiger Woods wins the Masters. Man, pretty amazing. There was that video that had all of the, you know, doubters.
Oh, that's actually the only thing I've seen.
That could have been. I could have been in that video
with him watching.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I could have been one of those people in that video. And that's not even no Tiger Woods shade. Like he just did not look. Over time, and I know, you know, my dad's a huge golf fan, so I'm kind of into it enough to understand what's going on. And he did not look in the very beginning of his comeback like he would ever be great again. Like it was like, there's just no way.
Right.
That it just didn't even look close. And I know that there's some historical reference to that. Like there's several golfers who kind of took hiatus or maybe got injured or whatever and came back and didn't look great and won and all that. But it was a really big thing to see him win, and it sparked kind of a conversation that I actually hate about Tiger Woods, which is him, quote unquote, not wanting to be black. So I don't typically really get into that type of conversation because I think it's kind of a silly one. But what I always thought was weird about the Tiger Woods doesn't want to be black thing was like, he never said that. He never said, I don't want to be black. And I don't think he ever insinuated that. So what I always found odd was his thing was, I'm also Asian. And he did not ever want to leave out his mother. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was like, I'm like, okay, so are we arguing that he should ignore his mother's heritage? Or what are we arguing when we want Tiger Woods to be Huey Newton? And also, what... what are you supposed to do if you don't want to be a culture savior?
You're asking a question that requires an answer for someone I don't care to hear from, though.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I got to talk to those type of people on a regular basis.
You don't have to.
Some of them might be closer than others. Like,
well, okay, so this is my opinion, which I have to say,
it's your show,
because
so go ahead.
That's what's happening. Okay, first of all, his injuries, it's counterintuitive. And as someone who doesn't play golf, I can, you know, definitely say this with a father who also follows the game, plays, and understands what actually goes into the game. You watch golf and you think, you think it's, you know, it's not stressful on the body.
Right, it's non-athletic.
But at that level, not only is it, you know, but you kind of understand that it's mentally, you know, very, it requires a lot of focus and a certain kind of personality.
Yeah.
But the physical aspect of how he plays was so incredibly impacted by the injuries that he was going through, you
Absolutely.
Know, in addition to all the personal stuff that he was going through. So he was already going through a lot, legitimately a lot, just in that, the personal and the physical. But then there's the aspect of the personal that goes to what we're talking about, which is that when his father
passed,
you know?
Yeah.
It's and
shout out to Earl Woods, man.
So if you want to, you know, and I don't know how, I obviously don't know anything about their interaction when it came to talking about him being a young black male in America.
Right.
But you didn't get the sense that his father wasn't having that conversation with him.
Yeah, well,
in any kind of way, you know.
Yeah, there's evidence of that conversation. They have an interview of him as a young man, and that was his reason, one of his reasons for wanting to win the Masters initially, because of how blacks had been treated. At the Masters and basically in golf. So he's aware of, or at one point he was very aware of the impact he would have if he won the Masters as a black male.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there is an argument about, like, again, being a culture savior and the relative importance of it if you don't want to be that. Because is that really my argument in these moments is like, okay, so what is freedom? Is freedom the ability to break away from oppression only to act like everybody else around you? Like, is that free? Okay, you're free from white American oppression or you know what I'm saying, or whatever. White supremacist oppression, not white America per se, because I don't want to like disparage white people wholly. You know what I'm saying? But, and now that you're free, you better fall in line and do all these things that we say do. Okay, well, then you're not really free. You know what I'm saying? That's not true freedom. True freedom is I'm free from this oppression and I'm free from the ideology of I'm free from all ideology. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be, to my dying day, my most, you know, my heaviest argument about freedom and about like culture freedom is, okay, what is freedom to you then? You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of my big Tiger Woods moment in these arguments. And I've had this argument about Tiger Woods for quite a while.
Going on forever.
Yeah, so.
We just didn't think we were going to have it.
Yeah, we thought he was done as a golfer. And we were like, all right, well, cool. You know, Sander, the Masters goes back to, you know, whoever. Some people that speak with an accent I don't understand. And that's life. But you know what I'm saying? But no, I kind of wanted to bring that up because I just. Not so much specifically Tiger Woods, but what is the concept of freedom from racial oppression, really? You know what I'm saying? Because it seems like freedom from racial oppression is only to move into, you know, move into a group ideology or a group think. We can't really truly be free.
You know? I think that anytime you are coming from, especially with a young black man golfing or a young black person in the NHL. You know, you're playing sports that are traditionally not, you know, populated by people of color.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, you know, from Jackie Robinson and everyone before him on.
Right.
You're fighting on a number of fronts.
You are.
You know, that you didn't, you know, and every, all of them but one are the fronts that you chose to fight on, right? But you kind of go into it knowing, hey, this is the world that I live in.
Right. Absolutely. Right?
And then, yeah, it's then up to you to deal with, well, how do I want to sort of attack this? And then if you find a level of success, especially level, you know, the level of success he achieved, it's like, then the pressure's going to come from a number of different places that you maybe never even expected. Then it's like, why should I even have to deal with it?
Yeah. And there's some things. I mean, if I am Tiger Woods, if I'm, you know, achieved the level of golfing success that he's achieved the level of financial success that he's achieved, like, I'm bringing the Black Panthers back. That's me, though. Like, it's on. Like, I'm more of the LeBron ideology as a person. You know what I'm saying? Then I am of the, you know, I don't want to be, you know, a culture savior. You know what I'm saying? But that's me. And I can totally respect somebody like initially like a Kobe Bryant or like a Tiger Woods who's like, look, I just want to be an individual. I want to be great at my sport or great at my profession. And then I just want to move on. And I actually think that the fact that I would do it one way, that LeBron has done it one way, mm-hmm. that Tiger Woods has chosen not to do it or not to do it openly or out in front or has had his ideologies, that, you know, that Oprah Winfrey has decided to have her own ideologies, who, a person, I don't almost agree with anything that comes out of her mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would, you know.
You would never give everybody a car.
I would. I would do that. But I certainly wouldn't say some of the things that she said. Like, I wouldn't, you know, okay, I'm not gonna shade. I'll shade Oprah real quick. Like, wow. I wouldn't open up a school in Africa in spite of opening up a school in America because black kids only want Jordans, only to not monitor and do your R&D about that school and get those young ladies beat up by the African teachers because, yo, okay. So now, I don't really have, but, you know, I don't have a big problem with Oprah. Just, you know, that's a minor problem with it. But my thing is, but for her to be able to make that decision, that's freedom.
Right.
That's to me, that's genuine freedom. And I think that we should, you might be like, ah, man, I really wish that some of these black, successful black folks or successful people of color would return and fight the good fight. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that they don't, because they decide not to, or because they don't fight it like my man LeBron has fought it, hey, that's the nature of freedom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, first of all, we only have these conversations, generally speaking, as just in this sort of general pop culture atmosphere, we only have these conversations about people who have achieved a certain level of success in the thing that they are supposed to be known for being successful at.
Right. Absolutely.
They've achieved a high level of success at something in their life, which is one more
right
achievement than most of the rest of us.
Right. Right.
You know, at a supremely high level. So yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, I feel like once you get past a certain age, it's like, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to appreciate what this man or this woman has done. But at the end of the day, they're not calling me asking what they should do.
No.
What move they should make next. No. So.
And I'm not calling them.
Right.
That's the key.
This is one thing I will say, though. Whether you're talking about Tiger or Colin Kaepernick or Oprah.
Right.
None of them has ever, in the history of the world, had a party foul in this room the way you just did.
As I said in the beginning of the show, I actually spilled a beer in the studio. This is something I've never done in this studio, at least. So yeah, I you know what, man? This ain't finna be this type of show where I just got to hold L's the entire time or whatever.
Well, you made a very, you know, supreme declaration early on in the life of this program.
That's perfect.
You're gonna have to go ahead and ride that out. That wave is still cresting.
That wave is
my still, friend.
I'm gonna have to roll on to that. All right, I can live with that. You did bring up, you know what, man? We were talking before the show started. We were doing our production meeting or whatever. And I don't want to make the entire show about racism, but you know, you had mentioned that we really only have this conversation when it's a person who's achieved a certain level of success, mm-hmm. right? Like a Kaepernick or whatever. But we also kind of only have the race baiting conversation when it's a person of color. And I think that that's also kind of like a thought process that goes along with this, right? Like, what is, I actually have a question for the audience and you know, those of you guys who want to discuss it, I'll post it. Some of these things we'll go ahead and post up on the Facebook page, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is RSR Podcast, you know, because Facebook, if you want to know why.
Facebook is the cutting edge for the young people
of
America.
Do you think young people are really listening to this?
No.
They turned this off when we dissed Kodak Black in the first episode. You know what I'm saying? They were done with that. But so, yeah.
We're going to go ahead and do that again, by the way. Just stay tuned.
Just stay tuned for that. But that Facebook won't let you use sucks in the in your...
Is that why?
Yeah. So yeah, they refused because they wouldn't let me use Rap Sucks Radio because sucks is like a bad word.
It is negative, I have to admit.
It's pretty negative.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I think that we only have this conversation like about race baiting when it's, you know, when it's a person of color. We don't really have a conversation about race baiting when...
Tell me more.
Tell you more. Fine. Explain, you want me to give you a situation.
I think I know where you're going, but...
Well, I mean, I could give you an example, you know, but, you know, like, for example, that people feel like Al Sharpton's an extreme race baiter,
okay. right?
And we have this whole ideology that, like...
You mean, like, pulling the race card, so to speak?
Like, race card, race baiting. And now, I might be going a different direction than your initial thought process.
Not really.
My thing is, okay, first of all, he can't race bait if the situations don't take place. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't make, you know, it's sort of my thing about the news. Yeah, there's fake news and we laugh and joke about CNN putting dubs on it, but they are still talking about situations that actually happen. So it's not as though if you don't want this news to take place, then it can't happen, right? So it's sort of the same thing with Al Sharpton or anybody else just kind of on the person of color side when we question them race baiting or pulling strings or pulling race cards. It's like, But it's for something. You see what I'm saying? These situations continue to take place. And now you want to act like we can't discuss those situations? Like, I'm trying to figure out why that's a thing. You know what I'm saying? What is race baiting to people then?
Yeah, the only story to... okay, so this is what I will say to anyone who says that. Is that for the rest of us, the only story about Al Sharpton that's going to be breaking news... I mean, he's obviously does incredible things for the community... All the time.
Right.
You know, things that are admirable. But the only true breaking news is when all the, you know, young men getting killed by the police for no reason.
Right.
You know, women getting hurt by people for no reason.
Right.
You know, when all these crimes of victimization or just subjugation and harassment or just straight up racism, when they stop happening... And your story is about how Al Sharpton all of a sudden has nothing to do or nothing to say.
Right.
Then you know what? We can all come together and have that conversation.
Right.
And if he's you know, found himself bored all of a
when
sudden.
When he's
great.
Grasping for straws.
Yeah. Guess when, what?
Right.
Then,
like when three black churches aren't burned in Louisiana while the cathedral in France burns. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which, you know, is kind of another, you know, segue, right? We will go from that to the three black churches burning. So, you know, if you have been anywhere near the news and television over the last couple of weeks, you know that the Notre Dame, is it Notre Dame or Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Okay, I can,
that's
my accent
horrible.
Is horrible. That was really bad.
Come on.
Yeah, the cathedral was set on fire. They believed that it was like an electrical outlet fire. Like, I'm trying to pick up. Like,
well, they were doing renovations and I think something just went sideways.
Okay, cool.
And then like, they said they saw Jesus in the flames. So there's that.
There's that too. All right.
Who knows?
Okay, cool. Yeah, so skipping ahead.
But nobody was hurt.
No one was
which
hurt.
Is which is why we find a wide berth of, you know, license to talk about
the spire fell, though.
Ah, trash.
That was a big thing.
But a historic monument, religious icon, you know.
What? And it, look, historic monument, religious icon, absolutely. It's also, I mean, humans are going to marvel at human things. That's another thing. This episode is like, Trek does not understand. There are people who are like, why are you worried about? And that's what you sound like when you when I read you guys typing, this is the voice. Why are you so worried about a cathedral when, you know, zebras are running? It's like, shut your goofball ass. Yeah, nigga, like, don't nobody want to see animals in nature burn either, fool. It's not like we all like, it's not like you driving on a freeway like, fuck mountains. Like, nobody does that. You know what I'm saying? So which story are you telling when you have this argument? Like, nobody's saying that. You know what I mean?
My car's got over 200,000 miles on it, though. So there are times when I actually say
where you're like, fuck mountains. Okay,
fair. Or hills.
Well, fuck hills. Well, you know.
Which, by default, means mountains. You're out of here.
But, so I think the argument that people worried about the religious aspect, I don't think most people are really considering the religious aspect of it. I think most people, when they saw the cathedral burning, were seeing like a human marvel, you know, a marvel of human creation.
Sure.
Burning, and they felt some way about it. And my thing was, of course, I'm not going to question where your empathy should be, you know, unless you're one of the people who's like wired, you know, you goofballs. I'll question y'all. But my thing was, okay, but also keep in mind, while this historic monument is burning, three black churches in Louisiana were burned by, you know, following historic racism. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's notable. I think it's something that we should take note of. Like, sure. Yo, I, you know, I've read various opinions and, of course, internet culture. But you read various opinions about, well, why did those three churches even matter? They're not, they don't even pale in comparison. But there's the human element of this where you're like, you know, if you're going to call out people for race baiting or talk about true freedom or whatever, it's like this young man decided to, I mean, God, it's like the oldest act of racism at this point. And it's in America,
he went OG with it.
He went OG with it. It's like, yo, is it going to ever stop? Like, when do y'all chill? Like, are we going to be done with this at any particular point where we wake up one morning and it's like, yo, the problems are normal. These are regular reactive human problems, not necessarily like racially motivated or where you could turn on the news and that's done. And I know I sound like hella kumbaya, but that's the argument about seeing the contrast and comparison between three black churches being burned in Louisiana due to historic racism and one great historic building in France burning. I didn't say, fuck that cathedral. It's about that's cornball. But the real conversation is like, are you noticing both sides of this situation?
No, and I think that's not a we often talk about, you know, why are you paying attention to that when you should be paying attention to this? It's like, well, I noticed both. I just decided to talk about this.
Right.
Because it's the sort of most, you know, current event of the day.
Right.
The thing that was refreshing to me, and again, we don't do any homework, so we don't know if this is true, but evidently the church's the sort of backlash to the financial contributions going to Notre Dame sparked people paying attention to what happened in the churches and giving money to rebuild as well, which may not have happened.
Right.
Maybe God was speaking to everybody. Saying, man, out. Listen,
it's going down.
This is what's happening. To me, my thing is like, the churches here, yeah, you're right.
Right.
That's more current. You know, people could have been hurt.
People very well could have been hurt.
Yeah. You know, and that's here at home. Okay, America first. Whatever. To me, my heart broke more. I remember when Q-Tip's record collection burned up. I'm like, I didn't go on Facebook and Twitter and say, what are you doing for Q-Tip?
It wasn't around. My Q-Tip impression is the same as my Mos Def impression, but it's with the higher voice, just so you guys know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You and Records Burning Down, it was kind of crazy, son. I was just trying to figure out, like, where am I going to go from here? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like...
Why do I feel like your Q-Tip impression sounds exactly like your Trump impression?
I cannot do a Trump impression. But yeah, that's kind of a wild thing. Like, this week has actually been pretty wild. It's kind of the show is kind of based on like trying to, again, a lot of times just processing all of these stories and how they take place and how they unfold and the discussion around them. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like a lot of times the discussion around it, the story is sensationalized and then the discussion is sensationalized. It's right. Like, and people are like, you know, upset at the sensationalizing of the story, but then discuss it in a sensationalized manner. So
yeah. So this is also part of the point of what you're probably going to hear, what you've heard already and what you're going to hear in a more focused sense as we get better at doing what we do is that we're going to, if you're silly on the internet, we're watching the same stories and reading the same posts that you are probably, and we are going to tease out the silliness of your silly ass.
Yeah. Yeah. You get clowned.
And present it to you.
Yeah. You're definitely a clown. We could do a whole episode on Shug Post. Like, yeah, what is he? What's wrong with him? Is he all right? Real quick, man, sports news. I know y'all really don't like sports. I know. I've learned in the past to not do too much on sports.
Did you get negative feedback, though?
I didn't, but I just know from the former show that I did that people tend to tune out when sports comes out.
They don't want repercussions to track.
Yeah.
You got Magic fired.
What have we done on this show so far? We've gotten Magic fired.
Kodak Black got canceled.
Kodak Black got canceled and arrested. We've done that.
Yeah, we didn't have anything to do with him getting arrested, though.
We're not the feds. But he might be the feds, though. That's another part of the discussion. Yeah. No one gets into Canada with that many L's in their record. Like, that's my man on it. I got to make sure I shout him out. But my man said that on the internet. He was like, yo, how do you get into Canada with L's? Like, people with old DUIs can't get into Canada. But this dude got hella charges and he walking through Canada gallivant and they just let him through. He might be the fed.
Sorry, sir. Sorry.
And Beyonce got like... Some you know, got a show on Netflix. Like,
oh yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we did that.
That came out of the blue. She was not expecting any of that to happen before we aired.
We aired
the next day.
Yeah, we called out Reebok.
Netflix called her.
And Netflix called. They had some black folks in the meeting room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Netflix listened to the show. They got it right. So we've done quite a few things in our first four episodes. You know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty hyped. I'm pretty hyped about
Rap Sex Radio is a road to glory.
It is. And we've just spent like 2 minutes bragging about the show. So what we're going to do now is real quick, I'm going to talk about the NBA Finals. And I'm not going to get into like who's winning, who's losing. I had ideas of who should win and who should lose. I really want OKC to win because I know how much y'all love Damian Lillard but dislike my man Russell Westbrook. And I think that's a really goofy argument. I don't know why. But I think y'all goofy for it. And my man Mike, shout out to my man Mike. My man Source, Source was like, when did the word goofy make a comeback? Well, when people started acting goofy, that's when.
They never stopped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Facebook goofed y'all out. Like, y'all was quiet at one point, and now y'all just cornball as hell. But I miss the 5-game series in the first round.
You were mentioning that.
I cannot. Dude, by game 3 of the first round series, I'm like, yo, I just want y'all to go home. You know what I'm saying? Chris Dudley is talking trouble. Like, Jared Dudley is talking trouble. Like, you? Fam, you? How are you an athlete with no muscle definition anywhere but your forehead? And you talking trash about, you know, Ben Simmons, who I just wanted to end. You know what I mean? Like, no more scrubs. I'm with TLC and Weezer. Weezer did a No Scrubs remix, by the way. Both of them said no more scrubs.
Young Sakota's favorite song.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, let's follow Young Sakota and switch back to the 5-game series. Exactly. So we can get these scrubs off the floor as quickly as possible and get to the real series. You know what I'm saying? I'm all for it.
There you go. Done. Guess what's going to happen next week in the news? The NBA announces.
9-game series. That'll be what we did horribly.
We did it.
We did it. We ruined everything. Magic Johnson fired. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Resigned. It's old news to y'all, but I am having a great time with this news.
Yeah.
Your relationship with Magic is so problematic.
Oh, man, he's like one of my favorite people of all time. But I was like, yo, you got to not. All this that you doing, fam. Like, I wanted to give Magic Johnson, like, the homie walkover. Like, yo, come on, dog. You tripping right now. Talk. You know what I'm saying? You know when the homie is, like, hollering at a chick and she clearly just wants nothing to do with him. And you just got to walk over and give him the, like, yo, come on. Well, I mean, you don't have to know anything.
That's never happened.
Well, you wouldn't. Yeah, because of the people that you hung out with.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very
true. I'm trying.
Yeah, no, we used to just sing hymns in church, and that's all that we did. We never did anything wrong. All right, so I'm going to – we thought that we would be able to save this question for, you know, a later episode or whatever. But with some time left in the show, and it got a little, you know, a little racial, a little serious. We went politics to race, you know, just to lighten the mood up a little bit. Excuse me, folks. What I've seen – a conversation on the internet about chicks that have whack rapper boyfriends and they got to be at the shows while their boyfriends is whack. And I've seen it before. Like, I've been at a show and the opening act is whack and the girl has to stand there and cheer them on, or, you know, she's there dressed completely like she's going to a nightclub and he's, you know, taking her to an actual hip hop club, and I feel so bad for her.
Wait, when you say hip hop club, what are you talking about?
I mean, you know, somewhere like Unity or,
okay,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
so a real hip hop
club. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, grimy cargo shorts type.
Google it. Youngs.
Youngs, yeah. Well, yeah. Millennials, y'all. Well, I'm sure. But I wonder, are millennials having whack hip hop shows? That's another question that I think I'll ask in another episode. If millennials would respond, right?
They're I'm sure they're not whack to them, but I would think that the girls who are showing up to those shows are dressed like they're going to a club.
They think they're going to a club. Yeah. That not,
they're not wearing hoodies.
All my hip hop folks out there that are at our age, was that not your favorite thing? To see the chick in the club and like in the hip hop spot with like heels.
But that was always but that girl, if she usually wasn't used to wearing heels. So that's probably part of why it was a little bit comedic.
She should have had tennis shoes on. It's like, you should have just put your...
Yeah, it's like, be yourself.
Put your show toes on. You're good.
Yeah.
But it led me to think...
We're all friends here.
I'm not sure if I could ever be with somebody who was whack at their chosen art. I don't know if I could do that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, well, maybe they've chosen the wrong art.
But that's fine, but they whack at it. So it doesn't matter whether they chose the wrong one. The reality is...
Well, that's the thing. What if they're, you know, ride or die in the relationship?
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, the dude is like, I'm going to...
How do you...
I'm doing a show. I got the show. Come on out. And they go and they wear the t-shirt or the whatever it is, right?
The he's whack t-shirt with the bowl, with the Helvetica. Nah, I'm sorry, y'all. I love y'all, man. I just follow your dreams. You know what I'm saying? Follow your dreams. Don't let me talk down to y'all. You know what I'm saying? This is a thing. It's been a rough week for me. But what I
has it?
No, it hasn't at all. I'm just trying to make sure I back off of being hard on folks for trying to rap and they can't. And it's a thing, right? But this is y'all time.
Like, this. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. It's the whole thing.
Yeah. This is whack rapper moment. Like, y'all, this is your shining moment. You're a shooting star right now. You can, if you are a whack MC, go for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, set your sights towards go. Like, all systems ahead. Because if you whack, this is your moment.
Push your thrusters to full.
For real. Speaking of whack, man, I do want to make sure that we do repeat that Kodak Black.
Yeah, man.
Oh! And I listened to the old...
It's like he's just... You know the meme of the chick getting hit by the hot dogs? That's him getting hit by L's. Just L's. Boom, 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 all over the face.
I'm sorry, y'all.
Oh, God.
That is really bad. Oh, he's taking so many L's. And they won't stop. They're like following him up the street. It's his L's.
Unforced errors.
The enemy that defeats himself.
Oh, my God.
And he just, every time he takes an L, he, like, brings up T.I.
Like T.I.
What's that?
Like Angel.
It's like I know nothing about T.I. Guess what? I have no particular interest in talking as much trash, a fraction of the trash that he talked.
But so many other people talk trash to him, and he's chosen like T.I. his response, as he's going to respond. Like Game has said things. Snoop has said things.
Oh.
All sorts of other people have said something. He's chosen to respond. Matter of fact,
I feel like he went super personal, though.
He did.
Like everything else that he's done over the last... He literally has packed more L's into the last 3 weeks than the alphabet.
It's impossible. Like, yeah. Sesame Street the has alphabet. Never talked to more about the alphabet. Fam, what just happened right now?
I got Bob Bars.
Bob, oh my God. That's 2 for 2 within like seconds. The alphabet and Bob Bars, yo. Those are just lies, by the way. Bob Bars. Those are just straight up. No, that's just looking out for the homie. Like,
yeah, he should have somebody that's just like, no.
He does. He has Huckabee.
I'm not talking about him.
Oh,
I'm talking
about Kodak Black. Got his back. Oh, Kodak Black. Yeah, Kodak Black needs a Bob Bar.
Yeah. By the way, one very, very interesting piece of news that we got this week is that his government name is Bill Capri. And we know, we try to respect people not using their government name. I don't know that he was trying to put that out there, but why wouldn't you?
Yeah, Bill Capri Bill is Capri. A raw name. Yeah.
Tight.
That's a dope name.
Yeah.
Bill Capri.
Yeah, so when you see the new rapper on Rap Caviar.
Is that a...
And number one, Bill Capri. You know who's coming at you.
You know who's... Is that...
Dude with multiple crosses on his face.
He should re-tattoo those crosses to L's.
I saw some picture that I think it was fake, but of him in the courtroom when there were no tattoos visible.
That would be... What is up with the young generation being in courtrooms holding L's? Like the Tekashi dude. Is that how you say dude name?
Yeah.
Fam. I was like, yo, this is pretty bad. It's like a comet hitting the earth type L's. Like you just smash into the ground and then people just stop talking about dude.
He's trying to protect his butthole.
Man.
He's trying to protect his family.
And butthole.
Dude is like, yo, it's just like, could you be any more stupid, yo?
Yeah, that.
It's like, if y'all can do this music thing, and look, old head energy. I don't like a lot of the music that y'all do, and that's fine. Don't rely on my opinion, man. Like,
they're not.
Man, don't. If you were, you know, if you were looking to me for any advice, I probably don't like your music anyway. Like, that's my advice. Right. I didn't listen. You sent it to me. I didn't listen because I'm not an A&R and I can't do anything for you. That's the likelihood.
Right.
But you got to be smarter than some of these people out here, because like some of the moves that these people are making, it's like, dude, you cannot. Are you serious? Do you want a career? Do you want to wake up later on and be able to be on like a, you know, 2010 revamp tour? Like you're not gonna make it, man. You're not gonna be able to be on that joint. Like, yeah. Ja Rule is barely out here surviving. If that
Fire 2,
but. Fire Festival Part 2. But Ja Rule's barely out here breathing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know where the members of Blackstreet are. Like, people are really hardly surviving in the music industry.
Why you got a fire on Blackstreet out of nowhere?
That is true.
They're just walking down the street.
That's true.
Down the Blackstreet. I mean, and you're just out of nowhere.
My bad. They probably listen to this podcast too. This is
I'm sure they do.
Yeah,
Teddy Riley. Was Teddy Riley, I was going to say, was Teddy Riley in Blackstreet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
But question is, can Teddy Riley sing?
No, Teddy Riley can't sing.
That's
Teddy
all right.
He'll surround himself.
You know what? Yeah. He was so... His presence was so big in the industry when he was producing those records. He could sing. That's how dope he was doing.
Listen, man. He was producing Keith Sweat. That studio session. It's like cats were outside crooning and glasses were breaking.
Wow, you folded up Teddy Riley and Keith Sweat in the same comment?
Oh my goodness. And that's the good thing about old head energy, right? we could actually go back and say, all right, well, you know, we could kind of shade y'all for the Old Town Road song, but we did actually let Keith Sweat make it.
Oh, that's another thing we did.
Yeah, Old Town Road, yeah.
Old Town Road, number one.
Number one.
Billboard charts. Listen, we don't have to worry about today. Whatever the Billboard country, whatever chart is. Yeah, we don't have to worry about what it is. That's genre specific.
Yeah.
Old Town Road, yeah. That's universal.
And CMT will take my advice on getting like Tip Drill on their show. You know what I'm saying? Like making sure that they do like a late night raunchy country music video show. You know what I'm saying? Where it goes down. Country music and strip clubs. Like CMT, get on it, man. I'm trying to put y'all on. Yo, I listened to that song for the first time today.
Okay. What were your thoughts? Did you take notes?
I did not. No. I didn't take any notes. My daughter was like, I haven't heard that song. And we've done this play this game when I'm driving where my wife takes the phone and we all pick a song to listen to and they endure my song while they listen to whatever, you know, BTS or whatever they want to listen to.
Oh, okay.
Well, my wife doesn't listen to BTS, but my daughter certainly does.
Okay.
Huge fan of BTS. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable. But
I think you need to look inside your own heart for why you feel that way.
I have so many questions. But how did this happen is probably the biggest question. But but I listened to the song and I got it. Like I get it. I didn't like it, but I get it.
Old Town Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We're not splitting the atom here.
We're not.
Yeah.
And it's not as whack as Nelly was, right? Like at the end of the day, I'm shading people today.
Oh,
I'm
yeah. Why? Why do you do it?
Oh my God, I cannot. There is nothing I dislike in music more than Nelly. Yeah.
Wow. Period.
I got to say this. Whenever track hosts.
Yeah, whenever I MC at any club. Yep.
Any club. If Nelly comes on.
Yeah.
He says nothing.
I don't say anything.
You well, just leave them.
Even more hilarious that we tell the DJ.
Oh, they love it.
Like Nelly.
They love it. They love the fact that I don't like Nelly. And whenever they play the song, they like point at me and laugh. And yeah.
So, but then when the song goes off, you start talking again.
Yeah, I start talking again. Yeah, basically. Yeah, he's like the Debo of my hosting. Yeah, exactly.
He's your spiritual Debo.
He's my spiritual Debo. That's perfect. A perfect analogy there, Kevin.
Like, yes, I'm a sucker for
cornrows. Just put that. Andale, andale, mama. E-I-E-I, uh-oh.
Yeah.
What's popping tonight?
That's some intricate shit.
And remember, he's a sucker for cornrows and manicured toes.
Listen. Well, let's repeat it real quick for the audience. Just breaking down lyrics of our time. Right? A time capsule.
I just picture the rap genius, the yellow highlight with just question marks. It's like, we got nothing.
Andale, andale, mommy, listen, in certain parts of LA, you go out and like say that out loud, you might get your ass beat. Like, yo, what are you trying to say right now? You know what I'm saying?
Anywhere in the country you go out and say that, you should. In fairness.
Yeah, listen, we wrapping up time with episode 5. This was the shady. This was like the episode of shade.
Yeah, this is a very angry show.
I'm pretty proud of this one though.
We're happy people though.
Yeah, we really are. We really are. And, yeah. and listen, like I said, don't rely on me for opinions of your music. I just am not really going to listen to it at this point. I'm done. I'm not as bad as like my fam, my Spit Kicker fam. I love y'all. Yeah, you guys are pretty bad. Like,
wow.
That's said with love. Like
you are. No, that's shading shade.
No.
I'm
saying like they're like way harder on current artists than I am. Those are my folks, like Fizz, my folks, Omega, that's my folks. Like those are my peoples. But I'm still not really. Even if you're like super hip hop, like, oh man, that dude might be as dope as Nas. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Anyway, so I got somewhere to be. And you know what I'm saying? And I don't know. Go ahead with your bad self. What up, y'all? This was Rap Sucks Radio, man. We appreciate y'all listening.
Old head energy.
Old head energy. We should make like an old head energy drink. Ayo, we are off the scene. Man.
You drink it and it just gives you gas and puts you to sleep. Yay.
And you like listen to oldies.
High fructose corn syrup.
Immediately, like, start singing the OJs.
Yeah. Gives you diabetes it turns before you leave the room.
Somehow, between the can and the Fantastic. Cup, it turns into brown liquor. We are out of here, y'all. Thank y'all for listening to Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy, Trek Life, and your fam, Kev Sakota.
Yep.
Shout out to the homeboy Suge in the building. You know he'll be in the building for next episode because we do give special guests two episodes, although he didn't really completely want to be on the mic. He just wanted to be in the background this time. Please check out rapsucksradio.com and also our Facebook page, which is RSR Podcast. That is RSR Podcast. A lot of the stories that we talked about, or all of the stories that we talked about, we'll go ahead and post articles to them and we can, you know, discuss them there.
Yeah, and you will also get a glimpse into what we may be talking about next episode based on what we're posting.
That is true.
You know.
That is true.
And also, if you are on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Or anywhere.
Yeah.
Like it, rate it, review it.
Yes.
Whether you want to say nice things.
Right.
Or whether you want to sound like us.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't we don't matter. Care.
We do not care.
We don't read. We told you that.
I don't read. I'm like, we're like Bill Burr.
You just said, you just literally said that you read.
I did read 80
300 pages of a 400
page. Well, you know what's crazy is that that's basically what I, okay, we're going to be out. We're going to talk about all this off the air. All right. Rap Sucks Radio, man. We out of here. Peace.